Welcome to show number 19 of the Sports Card Show, brought to you by NorCalSportsShop.com. What is up, my wonderful people? Thanks for tuning in to another edition of the Sports Card Show. We have a lot to talk about today. I'm not really sure if it's anything good, but at least it's some content and it's something to listen to. I hope you all are having a wonderful day. It was a nice sunny day today in California, you know. My car, I got it running. It wasn't running. My car was actually at my brother's like girlfriend's house, and she lives on the other side of town. And my car wasn't running. He left it over there. It had been there for a couple weeks. And I just went to bed one night and I was just thinking to myself, you know what? I need to go get that car. I don't care what I have to do. I'm going to go get it. And I'm the kind of person, I don't know about you guys, but I'm the kind of person that, you know, I don't want to ask for favors. I don't want to ask for help. So I was like, I'm going to walk down there with a shopping cart, because I was pretty sure it was the battery. I was pretty sure it was the battery on that car. So I walked down there with the shopping cart. It was about a mile and a half away. Got the battery out. It was very early in the morning. It was very foggy. Brought the battery all the way back about a mile and a half, back about to my house, and there was an auto parts place where I had bought the battery, and they gave me a new one. Sure enough, battery was dead. Walk all the way back down there. Battery was pretty heavy too. I got a nice workout. I actually recommend it if you're looking for a good workout. Put a battery in a shopping cart and push it around town. You'll get quite a workout. I was very sore. Still am. So got it back into my car. Got the battery popped in. Sure enough, car starts. Drives it back to my house. Well, the whole point of this story is my car still doesn't start. When it's really cold out in the morning, my car doesn't start. Well, it was a sunny day out here in California, and go out to try to start my car. I was just thinking, if it was warm, it's an old diesel Mercedes. I was like reading a bunch of stuff online, and they were saying, if it's warm outside, your car's going to start. Sure enough, car starts. So when it's sunny, I'm going to be able to drive places. When it's cold out, I'm going to have to grin and bear it and walk around or ride my bike. But I'm not really worried. This is a pretty small town. So just thought I'd throw that out for you guys. Remember my tip, you know, want a good workout, forget the gym, 24-hour fitness, all that stuff. Bunch of BS. Just put a battery in a shopping cart. Just pull it out of your car, put it in the shopping cart, walk around town. That's a good workout. But anyways, back on topic, we're going to talk a little bit. Let's just break it right into news. I'm not even going to tell you what we're going to talk about today. We'll get to that later on. But first thing, this is actually really cool. We talked about on an earlier show, and you'll have to go back and see, but we previewed Upper Deck Ultimate Collection Football. That comes out in February. It's a real expensive product. They kind of repackaged it this year. It's like a mini box format. It's actually pretty cool. One of the coolest inserts in it is going to be the 1997 Legends autograph set. It's going to be an update set. If you don't know what the 1997 Legends football set is, the autograph set is, I don't know. You must be a young kid, or you must not be a serious football card collector, because this set, all on card autographs, just a real clean picture, just a really nice set. And they're actually continuing it. It didn't have a lot of superstars back in the day. I remember I had a couple cards about a month ago, and I sold them on eBay. Just some random guys like Randy Cross, and I forget the other guy. But they sold for a lot of money, about $20 each. And normally those guys' autographs don't sell for that much, but it's because that set is very collectible. Guys like to complete the whole set. Well, now they're going to have a real challenge on their hands, because that set didn't include some of the big-time names, especially of the day. Didn't have John Elway, because he wasn't a legend yet. Well, he probably was, but not quite yet. Barry Sanders, Jerry Rice, Troy Aikman, Brett Favre, Steve Young, some of these guys that made their name later, after 1997. So these guys are going to be included in the set. The numbers are going to continue. I don't know where that set left off at. It was a big set. So they're going to continue the numbering. So these guys that have already completed their set, that's how Upper Deck does you, man. They come out with an update set like 20 years later and make you buy a bunch of cards that you should have already completed the set. Now you don't have the completed set, and now you're going to drop some serious coin, all on-card autographs, John Elway, Barry Sanders, Jerry Rice, Troy Aikman, just those four right there are going to probably cost you close to $1,000. That's what I'm guessing, at least right in the beginning. Not to mention Brett Favre, Steve Young. There's going to be others. It's going to be a ridiculous set. So I feel bad if that's a set that you've collected or that you were thinking about completing. Now you've got a big-time challenge on your hands. But it's going to be a really cool set. There's one per case. I forgot to throw that in there. That's probably the biggest note, one per case. Now, I'm not really sure. You might have to go back and listen to the previous show that we had on this product. Now, if I wasn't so lazy, I'd go back and do it myself. But I know the product is packaged differently. I know it has 15 boxes per case, but it's actually 15 little mini boxes. So a case is going to run you a steep grip. But you have a decent shot at pulling one. You're going to pull one, I think, in one 15-box case. And I think a 15-box case is going to run you at least $1,000. I'm pretty sure. It might be less than that. You never know. But keep an eye out for that. Something you want to keep an eye out on for. After this short break, we're going to talk a little bit about some more baseball news, just some short stuff, and then we're going to break it off to our main topic of the day. What do you collect? Hall of Famers or current superstars? Or maybe a mix of both? And we'll talk about that after this.
Hey, this is radio station WSKEE. We're taking calls on the wish line, making your wacky wishes come true.
Hello? I wish I was a little bit taller. I wish I was a baller. I wish I had a girl who looked good, I would call her. Wish I had a rabbit in a hat with a bat and a 6-4 baller. I wish I was like 6'9" so I could get with Leoshi, cause she don't know me, but yo, she's really fine. You know, I see her all the time, everywhere I go, and even in my dreams, I can scheme a way to make her mine. Cause I know she's living fat, her boyfriend's tall, and he plays ball, so how am I gonna compete with that? Cause when it comes to playing basketball, I'm always last to be picked, and in some cases, never picked it off. So I just lean up on the wall, or sit up in the bleachers with the rest of the girls who came to watch they man ball. Dag y'all, I never understood black, while the jocks get the fly girls, and me, I get the hood rats. I tell them scat, skittles, kabobble. Got hit with a bottle, but sit in a hospital for talking that mess. I confess it's a shame when you living in a city that's the size of a box and nobody knows your name. Glad I came to my senses, like quick, got sick to my stomach, overcoming by thoughts of me and her together, right? So when I asked her out, she said I wasn't that type. I wish I was a little bit taller, I wish I was a baller. I wish I had a girl who looked good, I would call her. Wish I had a rabbit in a hat with a bat and a 6-4 baller. I wish I was a little bit taller. I wish I was a baller. I wish I had a girl with a good, I would call her.
And we are back. Let's break it off. Cover a couple of the signings, or some of the potential signings in baseball. The only one of note, Randy Johnson, maybe signing with the Giants. Here's the Giants doing what they used to do, just signing the old men past their prime. Where were we freaking like 5 years ago or a couple years ago when Randy Johnson still had a fastball, still had a couple good pitches left? We just get these guys when they're like grandfathers, you know? It's like we want to put their number, we want to be associated with them when they go to the Hall of Fame. You know, it's like, where were we 5 years ago when this guy was making a name for himself? So I don't know what the Giants are thinking, although the big unit in the Giants uniform, whatever, that'd be cool. If he stays healthy, it'd be all right. So not many other. Mark Teixeira trying to sign with somebody. He hasn't done it yet, so we'll see what happens with that. Upcoming free agents, this is something that you want to keep an eye out on. You know, if you're not big time into prospecting, but if you are and you've kind of made your positions or you bought kind of the guys that you want and you want to try to maybe get into something new, upcoming free agents is sometimes as good as a prospect because nothing gets a guy more motivated than a new contract. And the one that I saw right off the bat, Adrian Beltre's got to be the poster boy of having the best season of your life the year before you're about to get a new contract. This guy, his best year, he had a huge amount of home runs. And I swear that was the year before he was a free agent. So some of these guys, Beltre, Rick Ankiel, Carlos Delgado, Chipper Jones, boy, if he could stay healthy, Vladimir Guerrero, those are going to be some big-time free agents next year. So you know those guys are motivated right now. You know they're in the gym. You know they're sweating. You know they're not just kicking back like some of these guys like A-Rod. Some of these guys that are guaranteed in the bank, well, I mean, they're getting paid. What are they worried about? But Beltre, Ankiel, Delgado, Chipper, Vladimir, man, they want to get paid. So sometimes if you scoop them early before kind of the season starts, these guys are going to be motivated. If they can stay healthy, they're going to be doing their best to put up a big year, because they know if they put up a huge year, it just means money in the bank, cha-ching for them. So those are some guys to keep an eye out on for. I don't know about Beltre. Ankiel will be intriguing. Delgado's getting kind of old. Chipper, it'll be depend on his health. Vladimir the same way, but Vladimir, I know the Giants will come knocking. Giants will come knocking on probably on every single one of those guys' door, except for Ankiel, the only guy that has more than 5 years left in the MLB. That'll be the one guy the Giants don't come after. So hopefully your team is not in that same condition. Send me an email, sportscardshow@gmail.com. Send me updates on your team, anything that you want to hear on the show, sportscardshow@gmail.com. Do it now. All right, now on to our main topic. Hall of Famers or current players, what do you collect? What's the best thing to do? Do you do one or the other or both? And it's really a good question, and you know, it kind of depends on what you feel like doing, how much risk you want to take. And I would, you know, I would think buying the Hall of Famers is a fairly safe bet. As long as they don't turn out like OJ or, yeah, I'm sure there's been some other Hall of Famers that fall on hard times. But, you know, the John Elways and the Barry Sanders and those kind of guys, the Joe Montanas, football-wise. And obviously like the Babe Ruths, Mickey Mantles, Michael Jordans, Magic Johnsons. You're not going to go wrong buying their autographs. And chances are prices aren't going to go up too much and they're not going to go down too much. You will see some big swings in Michael Jordan stuff, only because the prices are high. You'll notice that things sell maybe for the, in the thousands, then maybe they'll sell in the upper nines, in the upper eights, and your investment will swing hundreds of dollars. Whereas if you buy a $20 guy, it's only going to swing a dollar or two here, maybe not even that, in both directions. So keep that in mind. If you start getting up in these upper Hall of Fame guys, your investment might swing a little bit, kind of depending, especially today when a lot of people are losing jobs, a lot of people are trying to cut expenses. I know sports cards definitely, especially if you have a wife, man, she hates that shit, you know? I mean, chances are, if you have a wife that really likes it and supports it, God bless you. I mean, do everything you can to stay in that relationship. Believe me, because 99% of the stories I get, the wife's just, she hates the money spent on cards. So especially when times are tough, especially if you got a family, kids, lots of bills, whatever, it's tough to spend money on cards. So, you know, it's tough to collect Barry Sanders and Jerry Rice autographs and things like that. But you can afford some of their rookies and some of their older, more vintage cards at a reasonable price. So that's the way you want to go. I recommend it. I would consider it a very low-risk investment. Whatever money you're going to put in, it's fairly safe. Again, like we said, barring any disaster, any off-field, obviously he's done playing, set in stone, you're pretty much set, you know? So it's a pretty safe investment. It'll go slowly up over time. And if people don't approach their records and if people don't break their records, and it's possible in the case of like Jerry Rice, it's going to be tough for people to break his records. And there's a couple other people, you know, Super Bowl rings are not easy to get, and so are Major League World Series titles and things like that. So those get harder and harder to get, and the numbers and trying to stay healthy also gets harder and harder, and the pressure gets more on these athletes. So some of these numbers might be set in stone, and that only helps the cards as they go on. But I would look, Hall of Famers are a long-term investment because you're not going to be able to buy it and turn around in a year or 2 years even, or maybe even 5 years and really sell it for that much more. Kind of depends on the circumstances, and there's obviously cases in both directions where they go down and they go way up. But it's a fairly safe investment if you're looking to lock away some cash into something other than stocks or something other than a bank account, something kind of fun, obviously a little bit more entertaining than those things, especially times like these. It's a not a bad investment to go with. Current players, I would definitely put in more of the risky investment because it's very hard to project a guy's career. Even stat-wise, you could maybe project a guy's stats, especially if you think he's going to stay healthy, and especially if he does. Yeah, you could project A-Rod's stats and Jeter's and anybody, Carlos Delgado and Chipper Jones. But current players are normally only hot for a certain amount of time. So it's all about when you buy with the current players. Do you buy them when they're at their peak and everybody loves them and they're on the cover of SportsCenter and ESPN Magazine and all this stuff? You know, do you buy it then at the peak? It's going to take it a while to get back to that peak because guys like Chipper Jones were there. Adrian Beltre was huge. Rick Ankiel was huge several times as a pitcher and then as a batter. Vladimir Guerrero stuff was huge. And it's all climbed down over time, and you can look at that at almost every player. I would say Derek Jeter, some of the mid-90s SP rookies have held their value fairly well over the years, but those were really high, especially some of the graded stuff when BGS and PSA was really cool and really the in thing to do. Those cards were selling thousands and thousands of dollars, and they still do, but it's not quite the case anymore. It's all about when you buy with the current players. The Hall of Famers, like we said, the prices are a little bit more stable. So if you don't really want to track prices and you kind of just want to jump in and jump out, it's probably the way to go. But if you want to pay a little bit more attention to it and really track your investment and make sure you're spending your money wisely, then mix in some current players. I would advise you to do both. You know, it's like investing money in anything, any business. You always want to diversify your income. Like if you have a store or if you have a business or if you have an investment you're doing, you want income from all different areas, because if one kind of crashes on you, you don't want your whole investment to crash. You know, these guys that collect all one player, God bless them. If it's something you want to do, that's cool. I kind of did it for a while. I collected a whole team at once, and I think collecting teams is not a bad idea, especially if you like a really good team. It's actually a very good thing to do, especially in baseball. If you're a Yankees fan or a Cubs fan or a Red Sox fan, teams like that that have a really rich history and have huge fan bases that a good percentage of them collect a good amount of memorabilia, those are good teams to be collectors of. But, you know, if you're like a I don't want to hate on anybody's team, but it's some of these young expansion teams that have only been around a couple of years and haven't built a big fan base, those are tough teams to collect early on. So I would avoid that if you could. So check your prices. Make sure you're buying maybe kind of on the low, especially some of these guys like Vladimir Guerrero, Chipper Jones. These guys are borderline Hall of Famers, and they might be Hall of Famers. I don't know. I haven't checked their numbers, and I'm sure they are probably very close, if not in the Hall of Fame with their numbers. Randy Johnson is another guy. We just talked about him a couple minutes ago. Randy Johnson is another guy, probably on the cheap, fairly cheap right now. He's going to the Hall of Fame, we know that. So might not be a bad idea, especially if he struggles a little bit. Usually these guys try to hang it up, and they try to hang on for as long as they can, and they kind of struggle late in their career. But as they retire 10 years later, nobody's going to remember Randy Johnson on the Giants or whoever his last year of career. They're going to remember him winning World Series, going to remember him on the Yankees, going to remember him just striking out a bunch of fools, remember him on the Mariners when he was a beast. So that's what you'll remember 10 years from now. Same with Michael Jordan. I mean, I really remember his comeback because I was like my first year in college, I think. I don't remember. I might have been in high school then. I don't remember. But I remember his comeback. I watched a lot of those games. But a lot of people don't remember Michael Jordan's comeback. They only remember him hitting it over Byron Russell in the finals, you know. So that's the good thing about Hall of Famers. If you want my advice, I would do a mix of both. Pick some Hall of Famers that you like and that might be undervalued and that have, you know, look at it as a long-term investment, something 20 years, especially if you're young. Or if you plan on passing the cards down, someone that's undervalued, someone that's kind of overlooked, because people are spending a lot of money on like Adrian Peterson autographs and OJ Mayos and whoever's hot right now. People are spending hundreds of dollars on those cards. And, you know, as we've seen, very few people are superstars in the end. You know, we rattled off John Elway, Barry Sanders, Jerry Rice, Troy Aikman, Brett Favre, and Steve Young. There's not too many more huge names you could add to that list in the whole 90s of football. So keep that in mind. Not everyone becomes a Hall of Famer. That's why it's good to buy either a sure Hall of Famer before he retires, someone like Randy Johnson, and there's tons of other people in every other sport. Buy them before they retire. then their cards will slowly steady. You're surely buying it at one of its low points because you always get that boost right around that Hall of Fame time. And as time goes on, like we said, they only remember the makes, the home runs, and the touchdowns. So after this, we're going to break it out with just a little topic. You surf the forums, these group box breaks. We're going to be talking about those.
The type of people made the club before. Many a day has passed, the night has gone by, but still I find the time to put that bomb off in your eye. Total chaos for these playoffs. Thought we was absent, we're taking another route to represent the Dungeon family. Like Ray Day, me and my nigga decide to take the back way. We stabbing every city, then we headed to that back cave. ATL, Georgia, what do we do? Fall ya, bulldog
and
home like
the real town. Just to break things out here, this can be kind of a quick show, it looks like, but you know, who cares? Less space on the server over at Podbean so they don't kick me off. But if you surf the forums or if you surf the internet a little bit, you might see these group box breaks people put together on these forums. And basically what this is people sell percentages of a box. Say they buy just one box, $100. What they'll do is they'll maybe break it off five ways. So everybody pays $20 each, maybe a little bit of a premium for the shipping and things that go on after the box is broken. But the way these guys break this down kind of makes me a little hesitant to get involved, because what you do is you usually pick one or two or three teams and you get whatever player comes off that team. And to me, it's like, why would I want to limit myself to a team? I can't figure out another way to break it down. But the other way that I really like seeing it broken down is you actually pick a number and you actually get numbers, and a guy obviously does it on video, does it on YouTube or one of these websites that you can do that thing on, mixes the packs up, pack number one, whoever had seat number one or whatever, he opens that pack, whatever cards are in that pack you get, seat number two gets number two, three, four, and so on. And you can obviously buy multiple packs or just have one pack, and you know, that's how it goes. That's the kind of way, if more people ran it like that, I would get involved. I would pay $20 a month or $30 a month. I don't really care how much it is. I'd rather get the whole pack, you know? I'd rather gamble and get the big hit in the box or get the big hit in the case than pick the Giants or the Lakers or some team that I kind of like or kind of know a little bit about. What if somebody, you know, like in basketball, somebody picks Memphis? So, like, I know I'm not going to get the O.J. Mayo. Maybe they'll pull like a one-of-one O.J. Mayo. I'm not going to get it. The guy that has Memphis is going to get it. Or the Bulls. If I don't have the Bulls, Memphis, or Miami, I'm not going to get one of the top three rookies. So it doesn't really make sense to me, but it's something that if you are a big team collector, go ahead and give it a shot. Try the forums. We've shouted a few out on this show. I still haven't gone back to Beckett. I remember saying that I wasn't going to go back to the new year. So I got a couple weeks left. Haven't been back. I'm going to go back sometime in January. Check it out. See if they changed it. See if it's any better. If you've been there, send me an email, sportscardshow@gmail.com. Love to hear from you. But Trading Cards Central, I think. Boy, I just have it like bookmarked. Don't you get in the habit of doing that? You like bookmark a site on your web browser, and then for some reason, like, everything gets cleared out. Like, sometimes, like, a bunch of people use my computer, so my web browser will get cleared or something will happen. Then I'll go back and I'll be like, man, I used to visit like 20 sites, like boom, 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 because they were in my browser. Now I don't know where they are. I can't find them. So that's why I couldn't remember Trading Card Central. I think it's called Trading Card Central. I could be wrong. It could be sending you to some spam crazy website, but hopefully not. Hopefully you enjoyed this show, because this is it. We have wrapped it up. Hope you enjoyed it. Send me an email, sportscardshow@gmail.com. Visit our website, norcalsportshop.com. Just do a Google search. We'll be up near the top. Enter the discount code SHOW and you will get 10% off. It might be more, but I'm pretty sure it's at least 10% on anything you purchase on that website, including free shipping if you live in the good old US of A. But, you know, I'd really like to travel the world. One thing I've never done is left the United States. Been to every state almost, probably all but handful in the United States, but I would like to travel the world. If you live outside the United States, I know we have foreign listeners, especially quite a few in Canada, but if you're from another place, I'd love to hear from you. Make yourself outside of Canada. I'd love to hear from you if you're from Canada. We don't hate on Canadians on this show. But if you're outside Canada, I'd really love to hear from you. sportscardshow@gmail.com. Maybe, just maybe I'll send you a prize for being the first outside of the northern continent to contact us. That wraps it up. We're out of here. Hope you enjoyed it. Don't work too hard. Have fun this weekend. Do something cool. Buy some cards. Bust a box. Bust a case. Just bust the whole store open. I'll talk to you guys later. We're out.